few of us talk about Allah and Rasul, inshallah, to benefit us tremendously. Be mindful of those people that are performing salat. Short, brief advice for 10 minutes. Thereafter, durood and salam, and thereafter, dua, inshallah. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Most respected elders and friends, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا آمين. O you who have Iman. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing people who have Iman in them. He's not addressing people who don't have Iman. O you who have Iman, bring Iman. Why would Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala address people who have Iman to bring Iman? You got Iman, why would Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tell you to bring Iman? The commentator of the Quran explained, Iman is such a quality that we have to remind ourselves all the time about Iman, responsibility of Iman, dictates of Iman, and refreshing our Iman. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Jaddidu imanakum bi qawli la ilaha illallah. Renew your Iman. You got Iman, not that you don't have Iman, but renew your Iman by saying la ilaha illallah. You think about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you think about the oneness of Allah, you think about the power of Almighty Allah, and you refresh in your Iman with La ilaha illallah. In Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab of Iman, there is a statement recorded of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, who used to tell to his colleagues, his companions, Ijli Bina, come sit with us. Don't go away. Be with us. Ijlis bina nu'min sa'atan. We'll bring Iman for a while. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was such a great illustrious Sahabi. His colleagues were also Sahaba and Tabi'een. They had Iman in them. What did Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala mean by saying, sit with us, we'll bring Iman. Let us talk about Allah. Let us talk about the Rasul of Allah. Let us talk about the Quran. Let us talk about the Sunnah, let us talk about our responsibilities, and let us refresh our Iman. So in this short time, we will talk about Allah, we'll talk about the Rasul of Allah, we'll talk about some of the qualities of Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is human nature, when you highlight the qualities of anything, there's a sense of attraction to that. Any new product comes out in a market, people will advertise it. They will highlight it. You'll find billboards, you'll find advertisements in the newspapers, advertisements in magazines, on the social media, so that people get attracted to it. And human nature, that when you want somebody to be attracted to something, you highlight the qualities of that. So Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala want us to be attracted to Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah is our creator, we are the servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah knows the best thing for us to be attracted to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Know who is Allah, the greatest of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that is manifested in the greatest ayat of the Quran Kareem. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, he says on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, O Ubay, which is the greatest ayat of the Quran Kareem? Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala was known as Sayyidul Qurra, the leader of the Qurra. He had great knowledge of the Quran Kareem. So Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest ayat of the Quran Kareem is Ayatul Kursi, which is in Suratul Baqarah, and it is in the beginning of the third juz of the Quran Kareem, or around the beginning of the third juz of the Quran Kareem. In Ayatul Kursi, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala highlights, speaks about 10 qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There's 10 qualities. We read Ayatul Kursi, but ponder, reflect upon the qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Ayatul Kursi. Understand it, ponder upon it. And the more you ponder upon the quality of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will come into the hearts. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah is such that there is no Lord, no one worthy of worship but Allah. That the first quality in Ayatul Kursi. Second quality, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is ever living. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum means that somebody that sustains. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the creator, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sustains everything. Third quality, La ta'khudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm. In this world of power, we find rulers, leaders, presidents, people in any base of power, they would get tired, they need sleep. But the power of Allah is such that sleep never overcomes Allah, and let aside sleep, even slumber, which is the introduction to sleep, now also never overcomes Allah. Fourth quality, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the skies, whatever is in the earth, right on top of the skies, right at the bottom of the earth, and whatever in between it, everything belongs to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nobody can claim real ownership and absolute ownership on anything besides Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Fifth quality, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows whatever is in the front, whatever is beyond. The knowledge of Allah is absolute, it is perfect. Nothing is hidden from Allah. He knows each and everything. Sixth quality, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Nobody can encompass any knowledge of Allah but whatever Allah wishes. If anybody has any knowledge, it is given by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And nobody can encompass the absolute ilm and knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Eighth quality, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The chair of Allah. The chair of Allah refers to the base power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It extends beyond the skies and the earth. In one hadith, Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, what is the kursi? What is the chair of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by way of example, explained that if you have somebody with a broad palm and you take a small ring and you put it in the broad palm of the person, what is the difference between the ring and the broad palm? Likewise, the seven earths, the skies, everything in relation to a kursi is like the ring in relation to the broad palm of a person. Everything in the world in relation to a kursi is nothing. The kursi is the chair of Allah, and it is just said in a chair, but it refers to the base power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's far beyond our understanding and comprehension. وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. The ninth quality of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is hafiz. Allah is a protector. And whatever is in the skies and the earth, Allah protects it, and the protecting all that, whatever is in the skies and the earth, never tires Allah. Tenth quality of Allah, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is supreme, and Allah is great. Subhanallah. What a great Allah we have. Look at these 10 qualities. And if we need to attach ourselves to anyone, we only attach ourselves to the greatest being, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I will just mention one hadith and I will terminate with that. On one occasion in a month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to look after the zakat or the sadaqatul fitr. zakat that had to be dispensed to poor people, or sadaqatul fitr that has to be given to poor and needy people, it was donated by people. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Abu Huraira, "Oh Abu Huraira, you look after this." The first night, Abu Huraira was looking after it. One person came and he tried to steal some wheat or some barley that was there. So Abu Huraira cut his hand. The person pleaded to Abu Huraira and told him, "Inni muhtaj wa alayya ayal," that I'm a needy person, I've got family, I've got children to look after. I'm in a state of abject poverty. So I'm stealing because of a need. Release me. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala released that person. The following morning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira, without Abu Huraira telling to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ma fa'ala asiruka al-bariha?" What happened to your prisoner in the night? So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala mentioned the incident to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I felt sorry for that thief, so I released him." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him he'll come again. Following night, Abu Huraira went on a guard, but he said he knew that person would come again because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him he'll come again. That person came again, he went to steal. Abu Huraira caught his hand to him, he came again. Again the person pleaded to Abu Huraira and told Abu Huraira, "Leave me, I got a family, I'm in need, that's why I'm stealing." Abu Huraira released him. Third night the same thing happened. The following morning, again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "What happened to your prisoner in the night?" Abu Huraira mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "He's going to come again." Abu Huraira said, "I had yaqeen and conviction he would come again because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him he's going to come." And he did come. Third night, same thing happened. Abu Huraira told the thief, "This is the last time. Three, I gave you chance first time, second time, third time, now I'm not going to release you." So the thief thought, "Now I'll be handed over to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he told to Abu Huraira, "I'll tell you something that is beneficial for you." So what was that? The thief told him, "Recite Ayatul Kursi. Recite Ayatul Kursi, and until you recite Ayatul Kursi, no shaitan will be able to come to you right until the morning." Following morning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Huraira, "What happened?" So Abu Huraira mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also mentioned that what the thief told to him. He told to him, "I'm going to read Ayatul Kursi, the shaitan will never come to you till the morning." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that وَإِنَّهُ لَصَادِقْ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. What that person told to you is true, but the person is a liar. In other words, sometimes a liar speaks the truth too. Then Nabi Sallam told Abu Huraira, "You know who you were talking to for the past 3 nights? The encounter you were having with the person, who that person?" "Zaka shaitan." That was actual shaitan that was coming to you for the past 3 nights. From this hadith we understand that when a person recites Ayatul Kursi, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala even protects the person from the effects of the shaitan. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if a person recites Ayatul Kursi after every farz namaz, nothing can stop him from entering into Jannah besides maut. Haji Baipadia sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the great wali of our time, many of our people know him. He used to tell the people, after every namaz, farz namaz, recite Ayatul Kursi. And he says, always do such an act on which you could rely for forgiveness from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and entrance into Jannah. And he relied on this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that after every farz namaz, if you recite Ayatul Kursi, nothing will stop you from going to Jannah besides maut. That means if you have to die after reading Ayatul Kursi, then inshallah you will go direct into Jannah and paradise. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah. They are small, simple things. Recite Ayatul Kursi and ponder upon the great qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Ayatul Kursi. Through this will build an attachment, ta'alluq, muhabbat with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.